Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of You Ruin Everything, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of the CW show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm your host, Angie, and I've seen every episode of the show.
And I'm co-host Mike, and I am on episode 5.
Alright, and just a reminder, we are spoiler-free because this is Mike's first time watching, so nobody spoil Mike.
So exciting for me.
Alright, so this week we watched Josh and I Are Good People, which was written by Michael Hitchcock and directed by Alex Hardcastle. And we open up with a homeless woman asking Rebecca for change. We find out later in the episode that her name is Joyce, and I would like to call her Joyce because I don't want to just call her homeless woman
this whole time. Homeless woman the whole time. I didn't know she had a name.
She has a name.
Is it in the credits, or do they ever talk about it?
At the end of the episode, they say
they
She says, like, Rebecca's really excited. She's like, Joyce, guess what?
Oh, and, yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, and so spoiler for the end of the episode.
Yeah, the show actually opens up with them pulling up on the car, and she has to kind of prop her boobs up before she meets the homeless lady.
Oh, I missed
it's
that.
It's a really important nuance to the episode.
she pops up her boobs.
Yeah, so I noticed that.
Oh. Rebecca's insensitive, and she's like, I only have 20s, and I got them from working.
Very rude.
Yeah, that was
dick move. I also noticed that it looks like she's going to some sort of park in, like, a nice dress. It didn't seem like park dress to me.
Well, she's going to work after this.
Oh, this is in the morning?
Yeah.
Like, pre-work?
Yeah.
Pre-work juice meeting?
Yeah. Pre-work boba.
Almost always have a pre-work boba.
I have boba before school.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you actually had boba.
Yeah. Like, at least once a week I have a boba.
Never had boba.
Well,
I feel like I need that now.
I offered to get you boba.
In episode, whatever it was, they said boba was gross, or they didn't have it, or they didn't like it.
Yeah, Rebecca said she thought it was like drinking little tumors, and this episode, she is like sucking down some boba.
Yeah, many tumors. No problem. But apparently they like it now. Now that they like it, I'm going to like it. So I want a boba now.
And they're like cuddling and going through like
their. Were they actually touching?
Not really. Like, they were like pretty close. Like, they could definitely feel each other's like body heat. And they were like, and like Rebecca was like, oh, look at how cute. Like, everything was like super cute.
Yeah, going over memories and photos and stuff. Right?
Yeah, and oh no, Greg's here. Greg is here.
Not who
Rebecca wanted to see. Greg comes over and tells Rebecca that she's terrible. like, really terrible. And Rebecca's, like, worried that he's gonna tell Josh what happened. And this was the first bup-bup-bup in this episode.
There's a bup-bup-bup?
Oh, there were, like, a billion bup-bup-bups. You didn't catch the bup-bup-bups?
I didn't catch any bups.
You didn't catch any bups.
Not a single bup.
Like, anytime somebody was about to say something that the other person didn't want them to say, it was bup, bup, bup.
So Greg got the bup?
Greg got the bup, and he said, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to tell anybody anything, because I, unlike you, am not terrible.
Basically, by saying that, is telling people, hinting strongly at maldeeds, at least. Is that a word? Misdeeds?
Misdeeds?
Bad behavior? bad stuff.
Yeah, bad stuff, but who's going to assume what actually happened is what actually happened?
No one.
No one. So as far as Josh is concerned, they just had a bad date.
Yeah.
Like, and Josh kind of steps up for Rebecca here, and he's like, hey, you're being really harsh. You guys had a bad date, but Rebecca's awesome. And Greg is like, well, you're not any better than she is.
And you're terrible, too.
Yeah.
Cuddling up over boba.
Yeah, you know your girlfriend would not be happy about that.
I agree with Greg there. I think this is under the radar meetings.
Yeah, no, this is shady shit. But apparently, like, Greg leaves at, telling, like he's like, bye, terrible people and liars.
And he is bitter and angry, as he probably has the right to be.
Yeah, has the right to be bitter and angry. And, like, they both sit, like, in silent introspection for a while, sipping loudly on their boba. And, like, apparently, like, no one's ever told Josh that he's terrible before.
Yeah, he seemed really shocked by this.
Yeah. But apparently, like, Rebecca's mom did tell her that she was terrible.
Who says that to people?
Who says that to a child? To their child? And is like, you're the reason your father left. What?
Yeah, that's what's got people.
Yeah, yeah. So that's That's pretty awful. Anyway, and they get uncomfortable around each other and they leave, and Rebecca gives Joyce $20 as she's leaving the park and is like, is there anything else I can do for you at all today?
And then they're in the car with Joyce.
Yeah, with Joyce, and they do a Hyundai Sonata commercial in the episode.
I think it was one of those.
Like, oh, they had to have.
That was pretty specific.
Yeah, yeah, you don't go into like details like that unless you're getting paid to do it, I hope. But anyways, Joyce like gets a little scared and is like, you can let me out here. What's your damage? And then opening credit song, answering the question.
Huh?
Yeah, notice that like every time like the opening credits start, it's answering like the question of like, where did she come from?
I never noticed that, yeah. So Joyce asked her, where did you come from or something?
She asked her like, what's your damage? And then opening credit song, answering the question.
Yeah, I'll have to watch for that. I did not see that.
After the credits, we are at White Feather again.
There's a little drummer boy there annoying everyone.
Yeah, Paula, that's Jim.
Jim.
Paula asks Jim to turn down his music, and he's like, no, I need it to keep the beat.
Annoying.
Yeah, annoying.
Sometimes that's me, because I like to fidget with things at work. So maybe not to that degree as, what's his name again?
Jim.
I definitely been known to taps and pens.
Yeah, but like if somebody asks you to turn your music down while you're tapping your pens to the music.
I don't listen to music, so that's not a problem.
Yeah, see?
And it's usually very short duration. It's like tap, 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 done. All right. Everyone wanted to know that.
It's vital to everyone's enjoyment of the podcast.
This guy hits Paula with a Nerf gun.
Yeah, she gets shot by the Nerf gun. That's Tim who shot.
Tim and Jim.
Tim and Jim. Gross. Tim and Jim are the worst.
They pretty much are, yeah. I would not like to work with them.
Yeah, they call Paula Pamela, like, over and over and over again.
So clever, by the way. I was impressed.
I'm gonna
use that.
Really, really clever there, Tim and Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's being mean to Paula. Is that because she's a para? Like, people just mean to paras? Is that, like, culture?
Tim and Jim are, I think they are both attorneys, just in the context of what they do and their behavior. And Tim also asks Paula if she retyped his brief for him. And that's something that a paralegal would do for an attorney. Ooh, so
that was an actual para job.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm pretty sure they're both. At least Tim for sure is an attorney. Jim, I'm pretty sure is an attorney. And this again goes back to why like Paula felt like she was being disrespected by Rebecca when they first met, because this is the shit she's been putting up with.
Yeah, so fit right in line with everything she's been expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, so
these people are garbage.
They are garbage. They are garbage. But then Bex comes in and she's got lattes and gross goopy donuts, which apparently everybody thinks are good donuts, but they're not good donuts. They're crack donuts with a bunch of goop on them.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got something to prove here. She needs to show everyone how great she is.
Yeah, yeah. And then and she gives $1,000 to Karen Sick Snake.
$1,000.
$1,000.
Rebecca's rich.
But Paula sees right through her and is like, no, this is all in regards to the Greg thing this morning. Stop trying to prove that you're a good person.
Calls Greg a whiny bitch.
But also she's still kind of into Greg.
Oh, totally into Greg. What'd she say?
He should be a search term on porn sites. Which, wow, Paula. Wow.
Yeah, she went right after him in episode one, too. Yeah. So this is... Yeah.
Greg is.
I'm surprised Paula isn't pushing Greg on Rebecca with her being how she feels about Greg. My opinion.
Interesting.
What's that supposed to mean?
What am I supposed to say? I can't spoil it.
Oh, so there's stuff coming. So maybe, I assume that I'm exactly on point.
Or
this is
maybe
happening.
You're so far off point
that you find it
that it's funny to me. It could be either one. It could be either, oh my god, he guessed what's gonna happen, or wow, he is going to be like, I did not see that coming. Those are the two options here.
Those are opposite options, though.
Yeah. There's not going to be a middle ground, though.
It can just be not a thing. Well, Daryl's really upset about a custody battle.
She sees Daryl's upset, and she's like, I'm going to be in the office, in Daryl's office, helping Daryl, because I help people. Like you said, Daryl's upset about the custody thing. And Rebecca's like, no, we're going to fix this. And then she, like, drags Daryl out of his office.
To make this grand announcement.
And Daryl's like, yeah, the private part of my private hell wasn't really the part I wanted to change.
How is it going to be not a private hell? Maybe it's be a public less than hell.
Well, or maybe it could be like maybe a private need, not Daryl hell at support. All. Maybe it could be a private just between Daryl and Rebecca, not hell at all. Especially if Rebecca's gonna be his attorney, she definitely shouldn't be telling people stuff about what they work on.
But then no one will know how good she is.
But then no one would know how good she is, and what's even the point of that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so for Rebecca's like, all right, so we need to like really focus on this case, so we're gonna work on it outside of the office.
If you want to do work, don't you want to work in an office? I mean, I feel like you're going to be focused more, but clearly that's not the point.
Well, yeah, the point is not to get more work done. The point is for Greg to see her helping a person.
Yeah, by doing her job that she is a lawyer to do.
Yeah.
But then Rebecca, Paula in charge of the office.
And like,
she's the authority.
This is where I have to like turn off like the part of my brain that like knows how like law offices work.
This is not going to happen?
No, you cannot. You can actually get in trouble leaving a paralegal in charge of a law office. Like, paralegals are always supposed to be under the supervision of an attorney. Because everything that a paralegal does, like, their attorney is responsible for.
You have to be, like, an office manager. But they did say specifically that she was in charge of the cases,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she said in charge of the cases, too.
I was thinking maybe just, like, supervising behavior and whatnot. Maybe
yeah, she could do that. That would be fine, but you can't have her, like...
Whatever, don't ruin this for me.
Alright. No, like I said, I had to turn this part of my brain off, and I'm like, they are gonna get in so much trouble with the bar. Paula also breaks Tim's Nerf gun. Snaps it right in half.
Yeah, that needed to happen.
It did.
Can't just go around shooting people.
No. Like... You can't go around, like, shooting people in an office, like, at all. But, like, you definitely, like, can't shoot somebody who's not involved in some weird game with you.
Yeah.
Like, that's just mean bullying behavior.
Tim and Jim are mean bullies.
They are dicks. But, yeah, then we go to home base because that's where you go to work on legal stuff.
Yeah.
That's especially, like, really personal family law stuff. That's mm-hmm. definitely where you want, like, a big open space with lots of people who aren't involved in the case around, who can overhear everything.
Law, there's families around, right? For the kids. It only makes sense. A logical choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's there to put on a little show of helping Daryl, and Greg is not buying it.
Yeah, no, Greg's not buying it. Daryl, like, I noticed, like, keeps saying that he really just wants what's best for Madison and doesn't want this to be, like, a big thing, and Rebecca's just like, nah.
No, she's here to win.
Yeah. Greg tells her, you know, this isn't about you. This is a family's involved, so you need to, like, put you aside. And Rebecca's like, do you forgive me yet?
That's all it takes.
Yeah, which is actually how you apologize. That's the sign of a very sincere apology, just demanding to be forgiven and being frustrated about how long it's taking.
Mm-hmm. So people are.
Yeah. And then we cut to Josh, who has gone to church to go to confession.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Greg really impacted Josh here with his comments. He's doing some soul searching.
Yeah, well, you know, Josh actually says, like, right now he's got, like, two things going on in his brain, and that's a lot of stuff for Josh's brain. That's two Josh. Things in one brain. That's
a lot for one brain.
So many things.
Yeah, he's in confession with Father Bra.
Father Bra, we meet Father Bra here. Father Bra is actually played by Renee Goob, who is one of the writers.
Of this show.
Yeah,
fun fact.
Fun little fact there for you. And anyways, like, Josh, you know, is in the confessional, and he's like, trying to get deep, and like Father Bra's like, no, let's take this to a higher court. And then they go out and play basketball, which again,
professional court,
exactly where you want to talk about private and personal things in a big open area with lots of people walking
by.
Lots of
people?
I don't remember seeing people.
It's a private confessional court.
Like, it's a private basketball court. Yeah. Nobody can walk by. Okay. I'll take your word for it.
We learn here. Big news. So exciting. Josh is attracted to Rebecca.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's working. Rebecca's plan to undermine Valencia is paying off.
Yep. And Josh does, however, say here that he still loves Valencia and he wants to marry her and have kids with her.
Well, this is baby steps here. Step by step process. You can't just turn. You know, I think of an analogy. I cannot come up with one.
That's all right. One thing I noticed that Josh says here, like, that it's more than just an attraction, like a physical attraction with Rebecca.
He really likes her boobs, too.
Well, yeah, he's super into her boobs. But he also talks about how, like, Rebecca believes in him in a way that nobody else does.
It always is nice thing he said.
Yeah.
For his non...
his non-sexual thing that he says.
I feel like every episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend has a lot of boob theme. It's one of the...
running gags.
Running themes of the show, yeah.
You should start, like, taking notes and, like, mentioning it every time. Like, we already do, actually. Yeah, pretty much. Like, we already
there's
do.
There's no boob thing that I don't mention on this show, alright? I got this covered, alright?
I guess I don't have to give you a special assignment.
Yeah, I'm on.
It's a don't thing worry. That's already happening.
But I'm glad that I have an official assignment now, so now I don't just feel like a creep that I've actually, like, been assigned this. My job, all right. Not a weirdo. Creep.
Your job that nobody pays you for.
Hey, this is a public service.
Anyways, Father Bra tells Josh to write down, like, all the thoughts that he thinks are sinful, and to come back tomorrow, and they'll talk about it. And then we go back to home base, and Daryl is, like, gushing about his daughter, Madison.
Yeah.
Like, just gushing, and Rebecca is not paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, he's gushing, but they're also kind of, like, boring stories here. I'm sure I tell boring stories about my kids, but everyone likes telling stories about their own kids. Yeah, but yeah, Rebecca's not paying attention at all.
Nope. She is just looking around for Greg. She stops one of the other home base employees and asks where Greg is because she can't find him. And she finds out he left.
Naturally. Rebecca wants to leave too. So, why even be there?
Yeah. Like, why even be there doing work if she can't get credit from Greg for doing work for somebody else?
I could hear when Daryl says that his daughter means everything, and Rebecca's like, thinks it sounds like an Amber Alert.
Yeah. Like, Rebecca's a little creeped out by. But the daddy-daughter love thing. And then we get...
First music break,
first song. I love my daughter, but not in
a Trumpy way.
Not in... Okay. I didn't even do that. I didn't even make that connection.
How could you not make that connection? Really?
I don't know! It's so obvious now! Okay.
Yeah, I never thought about Mel and the Trump, I guess, but yeah, it is a little bit on the weird scale, but...
I mean, like, it's, I'm glad that the song is, like, a country song, because, like, there are a lot of daddy-daughter country songs, and they always do kind of squeak me out. Just a little bit, like, there's, like, a lot of language of, like, possession,
and... Yeah, it seems a little, what's the right word for this? Yeah, it definitely has a very gendered... Like being in control of someone else's kind of
situation. Yeah, like women are property. And, yeah. I particularly enjoyed One Day She'll Fall in Love and I'll Give Her Away. Not like I have ever had her. What a weird thing to say. And like the song ends with having a daughter is weird. Which, I mean, we don't really have like a lot of like models of like guy girl love that's not platonic, you know, so or that is platonic. I said not platonic.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm with that. Yeah. Wait, what point are you trying to make? I don't understand.
That is platonic. Like every like model of like man woman relationship is sexualized, with very few exceptions. Veronica Mars and her dad. That's a good relationship. Who? Veronica Mars? Oh. Soon as we get through Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Veronica Mars.
Veronica Mars.
I think I've heard the name before. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, you are in.
Angie's seen every episode multiple times. Mike has seen no episodes.
Watch your podcast feeds her. I haven't thought of a clever name yet.
This could apply to so many series.
Oh my gosh.
What was the other one you mentioned today? I'm rambling. Forget it.
Oh, Jane the Virgin.
Jane the Virgin. So yeah, it's hard to show a male and a female relationship and not try to sexualize it just a little bit.
Yeah, because we don't have very many models of that.
Isn't these like promise rings that dads give their daughters too? That's really creepy.
They're the creepiest things, and they're like there's like a whole ceremony behind it, and like the girl's like pledges her virginity to her dad, and like the dad promises not to watch porn.
Like, is that the part? I didn't know the dad had a part of this.
Yo, yeah, he has to promise too.
Does he have to wear a ring too?
I don't think so. People who
and have also, yeah, right, dad, you do too. Whatever. Promise not to look at porn. Does he even say that to his daughter? I'm not gonna look at porn, honey.
I think he does.
It's like, I don't even want to know that you have to promise that, dad. Thanks. You just keep that to yourself, please.
Yeah, no, it's like a really creepy culture, the whole purity culture.
Yeah. Keep me out of there.
Yeah, no thank you.
I don't have any daughters, so I'm gonna have to think about it.
Are you saying you don't want your sons to be pure?
I'm giving them a purity fidget spinner or something.
All right. But anyways, yeah, like a lot of daddy-daughter songs are creepy and gross.
Agreed.
But Rebecca is moved by Daryl's conversation about loving his daughter, not in a creepy way. And she has an idea for how she can help Daryl, but she needs to talk to Madison. And then we cut back to the office, and Paula has taken away everyone's phone.
Yeah, she's getting really military work here. Things are under control in her watch.
Jim is actually, like, tapping on the, like, pounding on the table, like, in the break room, it looked like. And, like, Paula comes and, like, hits him and makes him stop. She takes the office gumball machine away from Karen, who...
That seems unnecessary stuff.
Yeah.
Taking out her office candy?
I think she was taking it because Karen was hogging all the gumballs. Like, it was, like, gumballs for the whole office, and, like, Karen was keeping it at her desk.
Well, I guess not.
But also, weird. Why is there an office gumball machine?
You haven't heard of that.
Yeah, that's weird. And then, like, the thing that I'm, like, really on board with is she, like, throws Tim's weird desktop bar into the trash. And she's like, you are not Don Draper.
Yeah, what was that thing?
It was, like little decanters full of whiskey and shit.
Decanter?
Yeah, it's like a fancy bottle you pour booze in. So that you can pour booze out of it and look fancy.
Good.
Rich,
sorry.
Rich people who have too much money and need to spend their money on stuff, Mike.
Weird, funny name things and give everything names. And like a... Yeah, okay. Rich people.
Ugh, they're the worst. Oh my gosh. It's going to take me 8,000 hours to edit this.
This is a mess.
This is a hot mess. This was a bad idea.
Where were we? Tim's a Canadian!
Tim is Canadian! Also, Karen has a weird tampon thing happening.
Yeah, she's got to bring that up a lot, apparently.
Yeah. So, Paula finds out Tim's Canadian, and here illegally. Ooh. And she confronts him on it, and apparently Tim has alienated everyone at his old firm in Winnipeg for some shocking reason. He's such a pleasant person. I don't know how that could happen. One thing I do want to note here is that Paula saw through his fake documents, like, right away. Like,
Daryl seemed to be confused by that. Yeah. Tricked by it.
Yeah. Daryl was tricked and Paula saw right through it. Tim asks her what she's going to do and she says, I'm going to have to talk to Pamela about it. And she is a real bitch.
Got him.
Boom. And then we cut to Daryl and Rebecca talking to Madison, who has named all of her snails after terrible pop singers.
Oh, I didn't catch that. That had some reference. Who were the pop singers?
Snaily Minaj is Nicki Minaj.
Did you say she's terrible?
Nicki Minaj is like the best one of everybody that she named her snails after.
All right, who else?
Snailer Swift.
Got it.
Snaily Ray Jepsen. Who I believe she did the It's Friday song?
No.
No?
Well, I don't know that song, so I shouldn't say no.
Oh, I could be way off.
She's the Call Me Maybe.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I was wrong.
She could have done this Friday song, too. I don't know any other
did
song
she
that she sang.
Did she do the Friday
song? I don't know what Friday is. I don't know
who
what song.
Who sang the Friday song? Write in and tell us
who about music. It's not going to go well.
And then there was Iggy Azalea, who is awful.
I also don't know who that is.
You don't know who Iggy Azalea is? Mm-hmm. I envy you.
All right, so pop star snails.
Yeah.
Rebecca is trying to dig up some dirt on the ex-wife from the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Should have done some names.
Madison. Rebecca says that, you know, she thinks that Madison is old enough to tell the judge what she wants. Then Madison says she doesn't want to live with Daryl.
Good for Daryl.
Yeah. And Rebecca asks, you know, is there anything Madison can think of that might help Daryl get custody? And apparently Stacy leaves Madison home alone while she goes to a motel with her boss. And shocked expressions all around.
How old is Madison, do they say?
She looks like 8 or 9.
Yes.
I guess. I don't know.
Young to be left home for an evening. I wonder how long she's gone.
Well, she's going to a motel.
It's not going to be short, I guess.
Yeah.
At least a couple hours.
Yeah. Minimum.
So yeah. Bad mommy.
Bad mommy. Don't be leaving your kids alone. I think. I don't have kids. I can't give parenting advice.
Yeah, I don't like people who parent shame, so I'm going to try to not be overly critical here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, parenting's hard, and kids are very different from each other, and just because a kid misbehaves, not the parent's fault. And you can't possibly have 100% focus on a kid all the time, but you can probably not leave them alone for multiple hours when they're young. But I don't want to get too harsh, because, you know, who knows? But
yeah, anyway. And I suppose if you're trying to, like, parent without your other parent.
And the one thing I will say is if they're divorced, that means they're splitting custody, which means go sleep with their boss when she's with daddy, you know? Can she just wait a day or two?
Yeah. You would think.
I would think.
Or you could, you know, call and hire a babysitter.
There's that. Not Snaily Swift or whatever.
It's a Snailer Swift.
Snailer Swift.
Iggy Snailia.
Pop stars would be good babysitters.
No.
Not even Taylor Swift? Okay, no.
No. But Taylor Swift is, like, way too self-involved.
Yeah, I don't know her very
like,
well.
She would just be like, I guess, like, she probably wouldn't let the kid burn the house down by making s'mores on a gas stove.
Maybe she would. Does she have a lot of pyrotechnics at her shows? Have you ever been to a Taylor Swift show?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna stop speculating about Taylor Swift. I know nothing. Yeah, so anyways, bad idea. Don't. Yeah, get a babysitter.
Yeah. And it's not like she's broke. She's going on business trips to the Cayman Islands. That's
good point. She's got a decent job here.
Yeah, it's not like. And I'm sure Daryl helps support Madison. Doesn't seem like a deadbeat dad to me.
What if she makes more than her? Pick it the other way. Do we know the custody?
She has, like, right as of this point, she has primary custody.
Oh, so he must pay some.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, Daryl seems responsible. He's going to pay his child support.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's definitely, like, not even just, like, bare minimum level responsible. Like, he's actively involved and wants to be a part of his child's life.
I guess after this episode, I like Daryl a lot more. His stock is up.
Yeah?
Yep. After episode one, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be, like, really creepy the whole season. And be all racist and weird all the time. He's still a little weird, but in a way I like.
Yeah, he dropped a lot of the racism.
Yeah. It was just a momentary, like, lapse in this part or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I don't know. Or maybe racists can be nice sometimes, too. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they can be. Like every racist has, like, well, allegedly has a black friend.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, like, all of them. Like, that's, like, That's like page one of the arguing with racist handbook is like, I have black friends, and page two is you're the real racist.
Yeah, you know, we haven't seen Daryl interact with any minorities, so maybe my opinion might change if we see him in other situations here. But him in his law office talking to Rebecca.
I feel like they did have the conversation about the quote Jew thing.
Yeah, I think they sorted that out.
Yeah, and like I think Daryl like
listened. He understood how stupid he was and immediately afterwards. So
yeah, I think he listened and like took what Rebecca said to heart and
better because of it.
Yeah.
Alright. I'm gonna go with that.
Alright. The next day at White Feather and Associates, Paula's talking to Mrs. Hernandez, trying to convince her that having Tim deported is the right thing to do. And Paula says that, come on, his kids are probably jerks. They're probably little Justin Bieber jerks. And I mean, Tim's kids might be jerks.
We don't know.
Of course, some people have jerk parents and they don't grow up to be jerks.
We don't know. We don't know those kids.
Yeah. I guess it depends on, like, if they see their father as somebody to look up to or not.
Yeah, and Hernandez isn't talking at all here again. We still don't know why. I don't know why. I'm sure everyone listening knows why, but I don't know why. She's very expressive with her eyes.
Maybe Mrs. Hernandez just doesn't need to talk.
Psychic. It's beyond. So why waste your voice if you can communicate everything you need to with your eyebrows?
Exactly. Rebecca comes in, and she's impressed with how quiet and clean the office is, and does not give two fucks that Karen says that it's because Paula broke their spirits.
Seems like the goal here.
Yeah. Paula does try to tell Rebecca what's been going on in the office, but Bex is in a hurry, because she has scheduled an emergency hearing for Daryl.
Moving quick,
Paula's impressed that she got a hearing so quick. And at the hearing,
So Rebecca, in this hearing at the courthouse. Is that the courthouse? Is that where they are?
Probably, yeah. It's where the judge's office is. They're in the judge's office.
Yeah, so then she kind of reveals to the group about what Daryl's ex-wife has been up to.
Yep. By showing them Madison's YouTube videos.
Yeah.
See, you said, like, no cool people had YouTube channels last episode. But obviously, I feel like Madison's pretty cool, so.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe I'm wrong about YouTube. I don't know. I'm not ready to take a minute. I think we need to see how she grows up. Too young to know if she's cool or not.
Well, Daryl seems to think she's cool.
In a creepy way.
No, he specifically says not in a creepy way.
Yeah, not in a creepy way, I mean. Well, my mom thinks I'm cool, so therefore I am too.
Okay.
All right. You know, I'm backing off. Madison's cool, and YouTube is awesome. All right.
Yes.
Fine. You broke my spirit.
Yes.
Give in.
Spirit broken.
Only you know I got two
achievement
spirits.
Unlocked. But yeah, we find out that Madison makes s'mores on the gas stove while her mom is at the motel with her boss.
Why the motel? I wonder. I mean.
That's true. Daryl's already gone.
Throw the kid in the basement. Go upstairs. And why?
Throw the kid in the basement?
Well, like, in a playroom? I don't mean, like, in a dungeon or something. Not, like, chain her in a cage. Just, like, have her play dolls in the basement where her dollhouse is in the playroom. I mean, she's going to have a nice... It looked like a pretty nice house.
Yeah.
It's a big house. There's a room the daughter can go into. And the mom can have a little bit of privacy. You don't need to go to a motel and leave your daughter home alone. Alright. This ex-wife has got to get her game on here a little bit.
Get your shit together, Stacey.
Maybe they're just so used to cheating on Daryl, they haven't ever broke those habits.
That's possible.
Now that they're divorced, like, you don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You just go home.
Daryl's like, how long have you been having an affair with him? You worked there for 5 years, and she, like, just gives him a look, and he's like, the whole 5 years?
Oh, poor Daryl.
And here we find out that Daryl talks about his feelings a lot. And cries during cat food commercials. And you know what, Daryl? Me too. Yes. Like, really, like, any kind of... Like, anything with, like, animals in it. I'm gonna cry.
The video. Like,
if there's an animal in it, I'm definitely going to cry. Like, it's just going to happen because they don't understand what's happening.
And they like food. I never had that experience, so I can't relate.
All right. Well, I know that feel, Daryl. It's okay. But anyways, the judge grants Daryl temporary full custody with only supervised visits for Stacy. Yeah. Rebecca fist pumps here and makes a point of saying that the judge, Daryl, and herself are all good people.
I don't include herself there.
Yeah. We are a good person. And then we cut to the song, I'm a Good Person.
Yeah, obviously. Because I'm singing it and showing it. Everyone knows now by this point in the episode how good a person Rebecca is.
Yeah.
She demonstrated it over and over and over again for all of us.
Yeah. Because that's actually how you prove that you're a good person, by doing things so that people will say that you're a good person.
Yeah, how else are you going to know?
How else are they going to know?
But now we all know.
Now we all know. So we're back at home base and...
having a celebration.
Having a celebration. Daryl is kind of bummed out that his wife has been cheating on him for 5 years. Yeah,
he does not seem in the celebrating mood here.
No, not at all. Rebecca, like, brags to Greg that she got Daryl custody, and Greg is like, I don't care.
And then Greg gives her the biggest diss that could be given. Just a straight, never mind, and walks off.
Yeah.
Totally dismissed. Like, you're not even going to understand. You're so stupid. You're not even going to get it if I try, so why even bother? I'm out here.
Yeah, and then Rebecca, like, follows him back into the storage room, which is a special level of entitlement.
Yeah.
To follow somebody back into, like, the employees-only area. And she, like, just does not understand why Greg just won't forgive her.
She's clearly demonstrated how good she is.
Yeah. Just forgive me already. And Greg doesn't understand why Rebecca cares what he thinks. He says, I'm not your priest. And she demands forgiveness again.
But he says, like, you slept with someone else on our date.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about sex.
Yeah.
We can fix that.
And she's like, oh, well, let's just have sex right now. And Greg's like, what is wrong with you? Why would you having sex with me and getting some guy temporary custody, like, fix the problem? And Rebecca is like, oh... it's because it's only temporary custody. That's the problem.
She finally unlocked. Yeah. She finally got that key.
She just had to get Daryl permanent custody.
Yeah, then Greg.
Then Greg would forgive her.
Yeah, so she comes up with some crazy, bad idea, illegal, probably illegal, and has to be illegal.
Definitely illegal. She could get disbarred.
The scheme to get her in trouble, which is to put money in her bag so she carries too much money across the border.
And goes to jail. And then the next scene is...
she's actually doing it.
Is her actually
I thought she would realize way before she actually tries this how bad of an idea this is. But no, she's in the bushes. She's doing it.
Yeah, and I just wrote down for this scene, Rebecca is bad at being sneaky. She gets caught, like, immediately.
Yeah, she doesn't even, yeah. Well, she gets the money in the bag first, at least.
That's worse.
That's worse.
It's worse to get the money in the bag first.
And then get caught.
Then you have already committed the crime. Like, your best case scenario is she just keeps the money.
Yeah, so Rebecca's kind of lucky here.
Yeah.
Now, if the ex was a lawyer, she'd get her.
Yeah.
I imagine that something could jeopardize Daryl's case a little bit, too. I don't know why exactly, because I'm not a lawyer or nothing, but it feels like if your lawyer's pulling off that stuff, it's going to discredit your arguments.
Well, yeah,
maybe that YouTube video was fake. Was it fake? Was she given a script? A snail script? And then she went in there and made this YouTube video just so they could show the judge?
Could
I kind of think so.
Could be.
But she's willing to throw $10,000 in a bag. She's probably willing to
give make a fake YouTube video.
Yeah. I would like to see the date that was posted. Let's check YouTube.
I'm sure they did check that. But still, like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't do that. I don't know. This is not a legal advice podcast, but don't do that.
We like to give a lot of advice for our non-advice podcast.
We do. We should work on that.
Maybe we should just make an advice show, or make this an advice show. I mean, why don't we just say take our advice? I mean, really.
There are legal consequences for telling people to take our advice.
I give people advice all the time.
about legal matters? Rarely good.
Usually faulty in some way. All right. We'll stick with the don't take our advice. I'm still going to give it, just don't take it.
Right? Yeah.
Just going to put this on the table. You can look at it and just leave it there.
Yeah, don't take our advice. Unless you want to. But we don't recommend it.
Is that advice then? Well, I do recommend it, but you ought to not take it.
I don't know.
It's not a petting zoo advice. This is a museum. Do not touch the art advice. All right? Admire the advice. Don't take it. Or touch it.
I'm just imagining you kidnapping a goat from the petting zoo.
Giving it advice. Goat. Don't climb on any rocks or buildings. Stay on the ground, all right?
I am a goat, so I'm going to do all of those things.
Don't eat any cans. Metal's not good for the digestive tract.
You know, that's actually a really harmful stereotype. Goats do not eat cans. We eat whatever we're taught to eat. That's why the Minneapolis Parks Department is bringing us in to deal with invasive plant species in their parks.
Also, stay away from Mr. McGregor. All right?
What is happening right now?
We're giving advice to a goat. What do you think is happening?
How did we get here?
Good point. Good part of the podcast to point out we are drinking tonight. Sorry, everyone. Usually, I wait till after the podcast. But Angie didn't have school tonight, so what are you also going to do, all right?
God. What? Okay, so anyways. Anyways.
Straight face.
So the next scene, the church basketball court.
Josh reveals his sins to us all, which I love.
Yeah, he... wants to have sex with a lot of mannequins.
Who hasn't had awkward feelings around a mannequin, alright? You go to those stores and they're wearing all this like underwear and stuff, and you feel really awkward. You're there with your mom and like there's these lingerie on mannequins and you're feeling really like weird and you try not to look, but you're gonna look. And
this is a really specific scenario, Mike.
This is probably what Josh had happen. Was thinking about...
That's what probably happened to Josh.
Yeah.
Definitely Josh and nobody else.
No one. I mean, probably, like, a lot of people.
Probably
really common amongst other people.
Other people, not you.
But probably. A lot of... Like, most people, I would think. I mean, they're... Don't look at me like that.
The best part is nobody knows how I'm looking at you.
Yeah, for the people that aren't on the camera, that are watching us live on YouTube.
So no one. So we're everyone so else everyone. On the planet.
So everyone on the planet. And you're looking at me very skeptically, and clearly is not buying anything I'm saying based on the look in her eye.
Just saying.
Kind of a glare with the finger against the temple.
It's a very specific scenario kinda, you're laying out, though.
Kind of low, eyelids low on the eyeball, kind of looking up over the glasses at me with the pointer finger on the temple. drilling deep into my soul to discover the truth of my being.
That you want to have sex with a mannequin?
That I have had awkward... I've not had... sexual relations with that mannequin, but maybe I felt a little weird about the mannequins, right?
Uh-huh.
In fact, the whole, like, underwear, women's underwear section of the department store is always a little awkward to walk through to me. Let's move on. And then he sees a real-life girl, too, not just mannequins, and he wants her to watch him with the mannequins. I love Josh.
Is that a thing you thought of, Mike?
That I cannot relate to. The mannequin thing, I feel you, Josh. If I was confessing to a priest or to Angie or the public on a public podcast, maybe I would write down those same sins. But then the real woman one is just kind of funny.
Okay. But Father Brat tells him that it's okay because he didn't act on any of his sinful thoughts. Yeah. Oh, also, he wrote down that he thought about Rebecca, like, a lot.
A lot. No, I'm really excited for Rebecca. This is good news.
And then,
but what is he going to do with his feelings is the question that he leaves him with.
Yeah, that's the important thing. And then we cut back to Stacy and Rebecca, because Stacy thinks that there's an emergency with Madison, because why else would Rebecca be there?
Mm-hmm. Rebecca gets really honest and specific.
Yeah. She says she's there for justice. Stacy has no idea what that means, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, how would you know what that meant? She, like, Stacy admits here that she, you know, she made a mistake leaving Madison alone, but she also, you know, wants what's best for her daughter, just like most parents. And she, like, and here's where she asks, like, Rebecca, like, what's wrong with you? Like, what sort of person takes this case? But, like, Stacy, you're the one who's, like, trying to keep your daughter away from her father, too.
Like, no innocent party here.
Yeah, you're not exactly innocent here. Like, if you had just been like, all right, we'll do shared custody, like, none of this would be happening. But yeah, she's like, you know, what's wrong with you? And, like, Rebecca actually gives her, like, a real list here.
Yeah, she's honest and specific with,
yeah,
with her. She's not leaving anything out.
Yeah, for all the criticism of lawyers as being dishonest, Rebecca is very honest here.
Right.
And at this point, Rebecca realizes that she's seeking outside validation from Greg because she never got validation from her parents.
Greg is the moral arbiter. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Stacy's like, who the hell is Greg?
Why are you bringing him into this?
Which is a fair question, Stacy. That's a fair question. We go back to home base, and Daryl's getting Madison ready for a baseball game. Weirdly talks about how soft her hair is, and openly admits without being questioned that he watches her while she sleeps.
Mm-hmm. That's a thing parents do, though.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
That's
a little bit. I mean, not, like, for long periods of time, but, like, kids are insane, right? Mm-hmm. And when they're asleep, it's finally peaceful. Like, oh, look how peaceful they are. When they're awake, you're like, oh my god, you're insane. You're sleeping peaceful. So you take a moment to enjoy that, like 5 seconds. I'm not talking about, like, you watch it all night.
You don't, like, set up cameras.
No, I don't set up cameras or, like, hang out or, like, pop a beer and, like, sit in the kids' room while they're sleeping. You just take a couple seconds to enjoy the peacefulness.
All right. I believe it. I don't have kids.
Yeah, but Rebecca is really feeling good about, because she, you know, came out with the actual good plan. It's best for Madison. Instead of just winning the case, she's actually helping people.
Yep, like helping people in real life. Rebecca asks Stacy if she can have her cash back, and Stacy's like somehow she's already bought a hot tub.
On the way to the little league store, big league, what is it? On the way to home base, she had already found a way to buy a hot tub on the ride over.
Yeah, that's weird.
Is there a time lapse here we don't know about?
They're all wearing the same outfit, though.
Maybe she just said that because she just wants to get the money back. She knows Rebecca really can't take any legal action to get the money back because then that would reveal her illegal activity. I think she's just playing her.
Yeah, that's the most likely scenario here.
I haven't heard any more bups, speaking of bup-bup.
Oh, there were like...
You mentioned bup once. You said they did it all episode.
They did do it all episode. There were a whole... Like, Paula did bup-bup-bup a whole bunch of times, usually to Karen. At least once to Tim. And then Josh was about to get, like, really specific with Father Bra. And Father Bra was like, bup, 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 bup. Like, no. like, bup, 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 bup was, like, a running thing this episode. I didn't write them all down, but because I just assumed you wouldn't notice them.
Yeah, I guess not.
I guess not. Next time, if there are bup, 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 bups, I'll write them down.
You don't see the boops, I don't see the bups.
You're bup blind.
So next scene, or is there anything we want to say about that last one?
No, that's good.
Alright, so now we're back at the office, and Paula calls Tim over to talk.
Yeah, into the conference room. He is convinced that Paula is going to turn him in, because he's garbage, and that's what he would do. Mm-hmm. But Paula actually is a good person, and she isn't going to turn Tim in, even though he is garbage, but she recognizes that, you know, he has a family, and she doesn't want to ruin his family's lives.
You know, if she thinks strategically, you know, being that he is garbage, getting rid of him might feel good in the short term, but if you can turn him to your side, maybe there's more advantage to be had with that. Can you kind of change the relationship a little bit?
That's really strategic, Mike.
A little office politicky, but you know what? Sometimes you gotta do that.
Yeah.
Anyone notice how ugly Tim's beer suspenders were too? And like
those were hideous. Yeah, those are there was no good look for Tim at all this whole episode. Oh, Karen walks by because Paula says something about like that's like trying to get Karen to stop talking about tampons.
And she did.
And yeah, but she started talking about menstrual cups.
Cup at the overflow.
Which is not, like, that's worse. That's the worst thing to talk about. That's worse than tampons, as far as conversations go. I'm not saying one is better than the other. Use whatever you want. But it's weirder to talk about menstrual cups.
No one ever talks to you these topics with me, and I'm okay with that.
You don't want to have a really in-depth conversation about menstrual cups right now?
No, not so much. I mean, I don't mind. I'm not, like, trying to be all, like, anti-menstrual stuff, but I don't really need to talk about it that much.
Eric gets super squigged out by any menstruation talk at all. He couldn't listen to the menstruation episode of Sawbones, but he could listen to the episode where, like, the guy had a hole in his stomach, and they kept putting food in his stomach hole and, like, pulling it out. He could listen to that one.
Yeah, interesting that would be so much worse. Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah, I feel that way too. I can't really identify why. Like, I'm trying to, like, search my inner motives and feelings, try to figure out why this would be so much worse, and I can't come up with any logical reason why it would. But it also tends to be true, I guess. I'll have to do some soul searching after this podcast to figure out why that is.
I want a report on my desk at the end of season one.
All right. Yeah, why is menstrual stuff gross men out so much? When other sources of blood and wounds and gore maybe want not as much.
But after Paula decides not to turn Tim in, Mrs. Hernandez comes over and with her eyes sings the You're a Good Person song.
Yeah. Good song.
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't talk to her in that one? I thought she was singing. Mm-hmm. Joking, right? I'm pretty good at telling jokes.
But Paula asks her not to tell anybody because, you know, if you brag about a good deed, it's not really a good deed.
Rebecca.
And then we go back to home base, and Rebecca actually apologizes sincerely to Greg.
For the first time,
finally.
Very unlike her. Up to this point, to be like sincere with Greg in any way and any interaction they have.
Yeah, finally says, I'm really sorry. Doesn't demand forgiveness, just says she's doesn't sorry.
Understand some action.
Yeah.
Or behavior. Yeah, a good apology.
Yeah, Greg says that he can't say that she's a good person, but he can say that she's a good friend.
To others.
To people who are not him. Which, yeah, fair. 100% fair. Bex asks for
taking the high road here.
Yeah. She does ask for a free beer because she's out $10,000.
He says no, right?
He says no. And she says that's fair. Awesome. Then, next day,
See, Paula's office politics are paying off here because Tim and Paula are all chummy and...
Yeah, Jim tries to be a dick and Tim, like, stands up. For Paula. And then, like, Tim and Paula, like, team up and are mean to Jim.
Now Paula's the bully.
Yeah, now Paula's the bully. And then she makes Tim go wash her car.
Yeah, now we're just turning victim into bully and bully into victim.
Yep. It's not healthy.
Unhealthy cycle.
Yep.
Freak.
Then we get to the tag scene. And it's Karen's YouTube channel. And, talking about Beaver Dam menstrual cups. And her cup runneth over. That's the end of the episode.
Oh, you missed a whole scene.
Did I miss a whole scene?
Yeah.
What did we miss?
Back up. Cut the crap.
Oh, shit. We did miss a whole scene.
But while they're in this scene, Rebecca gets a text from Josh, and she dashes out of there, and Paul immediately knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Or no, is that earlier in the episode?
No, you're right.
Say hi to Josh for me, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And Josh wants to talk to her about what's going on between them, and Rebecca's like, heart's just a flutter, and you can tell she's like, oh my god, it's really happening.
Yeah, he says he's attracted to her, very attracted.
Very attracted to Rebecca. And she is just so excited at this point, and he continues to talk, but she's not listening to anything after that.
She's over the moon.
She's over the moon, yeah, there we go. She's so excited. But to be fair for Rebecca, this is a huge step from where she was previously, where basically Josh didn't practically know she exists, or barely registered on his existence scales, to the point where he admits to being very attractive. This is a huge step, even though he says he still loves Valencia and plans to stay with her. But still, huge, huge step in that direction.
Yeah. Rebecca only hears the attracted part.
Yeah. None of that else that matters.
Like, and then this is where, like, she, like, runs up to Joyce and, like, they start celebrating. Up and down, hugging. And then end tag and...
Oh, right.
We already talked about it. So, that was the show, Mike. What'd you think?
Loving it.
Loving it?
It's a great show.
All right. Now we are going to do Aw, Honey. And this is just, you know, the character in the episode that you related to the most.
I'm going to give this to... There's a couple options here, and I'm only going to pick one, because that's how this works.
You can talk about the other ones.
I could have picked Josh, because every episode I like him more. And this one is Mannequin Story, and just how innocent he is. And he's sincere. He's a sincere person. I don't mean innocent, but he's sincere. He's a sincere guy, so I like Josh a lot. But I'm going with Rebecca. Because I feel like she's grown a lot as a person in this episode. So a lot of, she gives that sincere apology at the end. Turns out she's actually going to really help Daryl instead of just trying to show off. So, yeah, Rebecca.
All right. So for me, my all honey is Greg, because Greg's pettiness is on fleek this episode. Game recognized game.
Fleek means like good or like on a like.
It's on point. Yeah.
Okay.
It's perfect. And game recognized game. I've got peak petty game. Although Greg lashes out at who he's being petty at, like, I will just pretend you don't exist.
Different styles,
but game recognized game Greg. Petty on fleek. Much respect.
All right. Who can you not?
Oh, okay, so for I just can't with you right now, and this is the person that we just can't with them right now, we just can't with them. For me, it is Rebecca. Because while I appreciate that she grew at the end of the episode, she spent, 75% of the episode
being obnoxious
and, like, look at me, I'm really good, tell me I'm good. And demanding forgiveness. And that's not how you get forgiven.
Yeah, but she figured it out.
She figured it out at the end, and I appreciate that, but, like, for the majority of the episode, I just could not with her.
I'm gonna agree with you. But I just gave her... For the growth.
All right. That's fair.
But she did start low.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just going to give it to Tim because he's just a jerk and a bully. And I don't like bully jerks. All right.
That's fair.
I can't with him.
Just can't with him. All right. What time is it, Mike?
It's Mike's prediction time.
Prediction corner.
Prediction corner. All right. So I think this might be a little obvious, but what I think happens in episode 6... Rebecca really ups her sexy game for Josh. Like, now that she knows that Josh is attracted to her, this is just going to encourage her even more to get super sexy with Josh. I expect a lot of cleavage in episode 6, some short skirts. I think she's up in her sexy game. And I also think that this is kind of a continuation of last week's prediction, but Greg's coming back. He, at the very end here, he spent the whole episode being upset. And mopey, and snippy at Rebecca, but at the very end, you could tell he melted a little bit, and he started to feel it again. So definitely think Greg's coming back. Now, I predicted that he would have taken an episode or two off to get his anger out, but yeah, he's coming back. So
Reconfirming that one.
Reconfirming, re-upping. And while we're on the re-upping, yeah, my other predictions still stand. I'm not taking back any of those. I'm not taking back the Josh cheating on Valencia. That's still happening. But Josh is going to feel real bad about it afterwards. Definitely going to be conflicted. He's gonna feel terrible. But it's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, in the period thing. But we had more period sex foreshadowing this episode. The period's a reoccurring theme here. We got a lot of tampon, cups, and talk. That's coming too. Mike's prediction
corner. Do you like the song?
I love it.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to keep doing it until somebody begs me to stop.
Not as good as Rachel Bloom songs, but you know, you got a little work to do, but you're getting there.
Well, that hurts my feelings because I put a lot of work into those songs every week. That's not true. I make them up.
On the spot
when I remember, oh yeah, I've got to sing a song for Mike's Prediction Corner. But anyways, that's the show. If you like this for some reason, I don't know why. But if you do, you can rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find us on Facebook if for some reason you want to interact with us more than this. At You Ruin Every Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at You Ruin Every Pod. And if you really want to get detailed with how stupid we are, you can email us at youruineverythingpod@gmail.com. We still don't have a good way to end the show.
I know.
So until next time, peace out.
See ya. Here we go. I should say. Podcast. Here we go.
Bye.